Last week, Father Rupesh and I shared our vocation stories, that is, about how God has called us to serve him and his church as priests. And many of you thanked us for sharing our stories, so just want to say thank you for listening to our stories. For us as priests, the reality is that this is our family. While we remain attached and connected with our families, our parents and siblings and cousins, extended family, all that, this is where we spend most of our time. This is where we focus on this family. So it's a special blessing to be able to share a little bit about how God has led us to this place, to serve this family. In the second reading today, St. Paul talks about celibacy for the sake of the kingdom. He emphasizes that remaining unmarried gives freedom from the anxieties of pleasing a spouse and family and to serve God completely. And the Catholic Church has followed this teaching through the centuries. Men and women, religious, they've felt called by God to leave everything behind and to go and serve God and his church without any encumbrance. And so they've given themselves through vows, poverty, chastity, obedience. Father Rupesh is actually part of a religious community, so he made these vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience before he was ordained a priest. And then, as a priest, God called him in obedience through his superior to come here to the U.S. to serve. And he said yes, of course, trusting that God would be faithful. I'm a diocesan priest, so I've served this territory of our diocese and promised obedience to the bishop and his successors, and I'm here out of obedience. So this obedience, the freedom to serve God, this is what St. Paul is talking about. Now, most Protestant churches, as you may well know, actually do not follow this teaching of St. Paul. Somewhat ironic for Bible churches to not follow this part of the Bible, but that's another story. But this is a teaching that St. Paul has given us from Jesus. Right? Jesus said that there would be those who would be celibate or eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And that this is a beautiful gift in the church. It's the way that God continues to move in the church today. He's calling young men and women to forgo the good of marriage and to give themselves to him. Service of the church. Celibacy for the sake of the kingdom. Last week, I invited you to nominate young men and women whom you think have the qualities needed to be a good priest or a consecrated religious, a sister or brother. And so that website is still open. If this week you've thought of someone, I encourage you to put their name down. It's at Austin Vocations, or there's cards at the doors of the church, and you can write their names in. And again, they'll receive an email from our vocations recruiter, if you will, our vocations director. But your nomination, just as an encouragement, your nomination may be that one thing that a young man or woman needs to give them the courage to say yes, to step out of the boat and say yes to the Lord. Now, last week we focused on celibacy, so this week I want to focus on marriage, because marriage is a calling. In this his time, St. Paul certainly spoke about celibacy. He spoke about marriage as well. In his culture, everyone was expected to get married. You weren't really normal. There was rare exceptions that you could have to not get married. So marriage and family were understood in that culture as the norm, essential for the good of the persons who are married, for the raising of children, and for society. And healthy societies still value marriage. But following St. Paul in Ephesians 5, the church teaches that marriage is a sacrament, a participation in Jesus' love for his bride, the church. So it's a beautiful, holy participation in this love. Additionally, marriage is an image of the Trinity. You have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the gift of love between them, and man, woman, and child, the gift of love between the man and the woman. So the Trinity, the family, is an image of the Trinity. And God is these three persons who eternally give themselves in love. So there's no selfishness in God. Marriage and family lead a person out of selfishness into selflessness, to make a gift of themselves for others, to love like God loves. Notice that marriage and celibacy are similar in this respect, right? So both of them call a person out of selfishness and into selflessness to make a gift of themselves in love for others. That way, this is the way that God leads us from this selfishness that we're prone to selflessness, to love like he loves. I think if St. Paul were writing a letter to the people of the United States, as he wrote to the Corinthians and Ephesians and Philippians and all of them, I think that he would still encourage people to forego the good of marriage for the kingdom of God. But I think that he would also reprimand us for not valuing marriage as it ought to be valued. Recently, I read a survey. It's American Views About Marriage and Family. It was the American Family Survey. And yes, the majority of the people in the United States still value marriage. So we're not completely upside down on that. They agree that it has benefits for individuals and society. But there's a significant portion of the respondents who seem unclear about the value of marriage. So 54% of people didn't agree that society is better off when more people are married. So 54% did not agree that marriage or society is better off when more people are married. 19% disagreed, and 35% were unsure that society is better off when many people are married. Well, that's a little disturbing. As to questions about family stability, 48% did not agree that marriage is needed to create strong families. 46% did not agree that marriage makes families and children better off financially. So there's also misunderstandings even about the effects of marriage. Researchers have well established that marriage is associated with numerous positive outcomes for both adults and children. Marriage is a factor that's most strongly associated with human happiness. Married people are happier than non-married people. It's also linked with greater financial well-being and better health. And marriage, of course, provides a better environment for children to grow and to develop into thriving adults. And there's lots of studies on that. So a society that does not value marriage then is really doomed to fail. It's going to fall apart at its basic, at its foundation of marriage. So you show that you value marriage when you take time to work on your marriage, those of you who are married, when you go on a date, when you pray together with your spouse, when you choose to be vulnerable with your spouse. All of those things glorify God as you work on your marriage. When you support other married couples and encourage them in difficult times, you glorify God. And when you play matchmaker for those who are single and who desire to be married, you glorify God. I sometimes get accused of trying to be a matchmaker. But I was talking with a cousin of mine who would like to be married and hasn't found the right Catholic guy yet. And I played match, well, I asked her first. And then I said, well, there's this guy I'd love for you to meet. He's a former seminarian, so I know he's a good guy. I said, I hope you're not offended. And she said, no, I wish more people would help those who are single to find a partner to get married. So don't be afraid to be a matchmaker. That can also glorify God. So marriage is this gift of God. St. Paul clearly taught about the good of marriage, just as he taught about the good of celibacy for the sake of the kingdom. However, we live in a society which often celebrates sins against the good of marriage. This week, I watched a few episodes of this TV series with Amazon called Reacher. You may be familiar with it. It's very popular. And it's interesting how this main character, Reacher, is virtuous in many ways. He fights against evil. He lives a simple life. But the virtue stops there, especially when it gets to marriage and that whole arena. Instead, sins against marriage are celebrated. So this is the soup that we live in every day. It's important that we then band together and form a culture in our parish family that upholds the dignity of marriage. It's like a team huddle in football or basketball. Those of you who played sports, you know, you come together and you put your arms over each other, you huddle in. Well, this is in some ways like that. It's a huddle. We need to huddle together, but with our arms locked facing outward, knowing that in the midst of us, the thing that we are protecting, that we are huddled around, is Jesus Christ himself and what he teaches us in the church. So if we huddle around then, we lock arms together, we face the world together, then we are acknowledging that in the center is this playbook for life that we want to protect. Jesus is at the center of our huddle. In our parish family, we do this. We huddle, if you will. Couples lock arms together as they help with marriage preparation and they bring other couples in onto the team, if you will. We had date night with 50-something couples the other night, a way to huddle together, to grow in marriage together. There's a supper club for young married couples. There's family groups called life groups. There's all kinds of ways that we huddle together to live out the faith. Parents form their children in the faith, so each family is a huddle. That's the most basic huddle in our church, is every family. Family is obviously the most intensive environment for formation of children in the faith. But to assist families in the faith, to form their children, we invite families to huddle often with other families through family faith formation or through our Catholic school. The school is actually our most intensive formative environment outside of the family for formation in the faith, for formation as disciples of Jesus. In our Catholic school, families lock arms together and their children learn the playbook of our faith through study, prayer, and growth in virtue every single day. They learn how to be a team, to live as disciples of Jesus in the world together. So parents and grandparents, I invite you to consider how you huddle as a family as you seek to grow in faith, how you huddle with other families to grow in faith through study, prayer, and growth in virtue. If you've never considered a Catholic school, I invite you to take a look during this Catholic Schools Week. So God has made us in His image and likeness, to love like He loves, to be selfless. Our vocations of marriage and celibacy for the sake of the kingdom are callings for us to be selfless. And in a world that celebrates selfishness and sin, we need to be strong together. If you find yourself outside of the huddle or alone, I invite you to join the huddle, to lock arms with others in this parish family, and to be part of God's team.